Vayomer Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Boy al Pare, come to Pare, ki ani hevarti es liboy veslev avodov, because I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, l'man shisi oishoisei eilu bekirboy, so that I could put these signs of mine within him. The Mepharshim ask, what's the lashon boy el pare? Come to pare. Normally, when you send somebody on a mission, you say, Lech, go. When you want somebody to come to you, you say, come to me. So what's the lashon over here? Boy el pare, come to pare. And the emphasis, if you look in Parshas Va'era, most of the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu to pare, is b'lashon boy. One time he says Lech, a couple of times he says Lech. So what's the Mishnah? Why does it say lashon of boy? There are those that say that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's not shaykh a lashon of Lech. By a person, when you're sending someone and he's going away from you, you say Lech, go, you know, go towards there. But Hashem is everywhere. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's not shaykh to say the word Lech. But the problem is that you do find Hashem uses the word Lech. It says Lech, Hashem said to Moshe, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim. He says to Aaron, Lech Likras Moshe Amidbar. Lech El Pari Baboker. So it is Shaykh Lech. So what's the Mishnah over here? Why is it that it says Bay over here? And most of the times that it says go to Pari, it says the word Bay. One of the great from the Gedolei HaAdmirim was Rav Yitzchak Vork, as a Ketzad of the Kodesh Lebracha. So in his time there was a terrible gzeira passed by the government to burn all the Sfarim of the Shulchan Aruch. Their claim was that our government has one set of laws, we have chukim that we have passed, and any other code of law doesn't belong here. It's, you know, it's antithesis to our code of law, so they wanted to burn it. So Yitzchak Varker, one of his chassidim had ties to the government through business, so he asked them to please go and be mishtabelti to mevatel the gzeira. Oh son, I'm afraid for my life. He says, this particular minister that wants this decree to pass, he's a violent anti-Semite, and I'm scared for my life. So he told them, what does it say? Moshe Rabbeinu said, Bay El Pari. Why do you say Bay El Pari? Why not Lech El Pari? Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to go to Pari. It was to go into the palace, you know, with Pari is there with all of his men, with his old people surrounding him. Moshe was pushing afraid. Sakha the Baruch, he told Pari, boy, come together with me. I'll be by your side. We'll both go together. And if we both go together, you have nothing to worry about. I'll be there to help you. This is what he told this chassid. The chassid, of course, got the hint. He said, you know, I'm coming to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will be there with me. The kachabe. He went. And he had the siyata d'shmaya, he was able to be mevatel the gzeira. So that's the pshat boy el pari over here. Come together with me, I'll be by your side, and I will help you out. I once heard the emphasis that the Rambam writes to his son, ki yodua that pari is also a marshal for the Yetzahar. The same way pari wanted to impede the Bnei Yisrael going out to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yetzirah constantly throws impediments into our way, b'sholeis, stumbling blocks, to hold us back from going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everybody has his egg in a personal b'sholeis that the Yetzirah places in his way. And a lot of times we're afraid to face those b'sholeis. A lot of times we're afraid to stand up to it. And we stand back, and sometimes we'll allow those barriers to hold us in our place and not to serve Hashem. For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Boy El Pari, I'll come together with you. You could overcome it, and I'll be by your side to help you. You just don't have to do it on your own. You have to put the ishtaglus in. The purpose of the nisyanis, the purpose of the mechshaylis, is to make you a better person, to make you grow, to help your shtayim. But don't be afraid of the nisyan that's placed in front of you. Boy El Pari, let's go there together. I'll be by your side, and I'll give you that siyata d'shmaya to be able to overcome the barriers. Pasuk says, "Ulaman tesaper v'oznei bincha, ben bincha, eisa sher hisalalti b'mitzrayim." That I toyed, that I played, that I laughed with Mitzrayim, at Mitzrayim. V'esoyseisa asher shamti b'am, and the signs that I placed within them. Yudata ki ani Hashem. So Rashi says, what's the lashon asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim? Ki ani mitzachek boy. I'm laughing at it. I'm hardening his heart and at the same time I'm making the comment. So this is very interesting, the tziv over here. We see over here there's a bazundra midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he laughs. He does things to be able to laugh at Paroi, and to laugh at Rishon. Yeshiva Shemayim Yitzchok, the one that sits in Shemayim, he laughs. And over here there was a bazundra midah of laughing at Paroi. What was the meaning of laughing at Paroi? So the tziv says in Hamik Dover that in these makas of Oroiv, Dever and Borod, you see a very interesting thing. They were all Amayim and Ateva. They were all Amayim and Ateva, and all of them were Biyachodas of causing total devastation and total destruction. And yet you see that they didn't. By Oroiv, you know, a lot of people were killed, and other things, a lot of animals were killed, but there were those that were left over, not all of them. By Dever, there were animals that were left over. The Dever did not kill all of the animals. Same thing by Borod. It says, Beferis by the Borod. It only destroyed the flax and the barley, but it didn't destroy the wheat and the kusenis and the spelt. So by each one of these makas, it was Biyachoyos of destroying everything, and yet it didn't destroy everything. Not only that, but before the makas of Borod, Moshe Rabbeinu, Beferis warned them. He says, take your cattle in and take your avodim in. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu, Bekavonet, wanted that not the Borod should not destroy everything. What's the meaning of leaving something over? Like, what was the purpose of that? So Zokhtin Etziv, if you're Ma'ayin, you see that from these leftovers, there was no gain for the Mitzrayim whatsoever. It was a temporary simcha. Oh, Baruch Hashem, not everything was destroyed. However, the whole purpose of leaving it over is it should have been destroyed by the next makkah. When the Mitzrayim were happy and they're dancing for joy, he's saying that we have it left over? What did Hashem do? He bedafka left it over so that later on it should be destroyed by the next makkah. The fact that by Oriv it left over things, it didn't destroy everything, right? It was only left over so that, let's say they were leftover animals, so the Dever destroyed the leftover animals. The Dever left over what it left over, so Borod wiped out the rest. The Borod left over plants, so the Arvin ended up destroying it. If the animals would have been totally destroyed beforehand, there wouldn't have been any animals left over for the Mitzvim to use to chase after the Yidden to Yamsuf. Right? If there wouldn't have been any animals left, the Mitzvim would sit back, they wouldn't chase after them, and then the Mitzvim would have saved themselves. So it comes out that the remnants of the animals that were left over in the previous makis, it was gufa for the hashchos of Mitzrayim. That was the joke that Hashem was playing on, and he's laughing at them. Because Lefi, the moment, they're rejoicing, look, he wasn't able to destroy everything. And the emes is that their joy was only a short-felt joy. Because at the end, the joy that they felt l'chatchila was only achonet for their downfall afterwards. That's the pshat over here. Esa shiris halalti ben Mitzrayim. I laughed at Mitzrayim. B'shas ma'is, I gave them something to rejoice at. And it turned out that that very rejoicing was the worst calamity for them. And the ultimate destruction of all the Mitzrayim came about because something was left over beforehand. That was the gayrim of the falling into Yamsuf. And that's why it says. It says earlier in Parsha Ve'era, V'yidatam ki ani Hashem. And Rashi says, what's V'yidatam ki ani Hashem? Neman lihiparam in Rishoyim with a shalim schar in tzadikim. Emes de kischar is a schar nitzri from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But this joy that they felt was short-lived. That was only a hakdama to be able to bring more calamity upon them. That was the in asher ha-salalti v'mitzrayim. About the Arve, it says, v'chiso esein ha-aretz, it'll cover the surface of the earth. You won't be able to see the earth. The ochalas yeser ha-pleita, it'll leave the remnants, the leftovers, ha-nisheres lochem in ha-barad, that's left over from the barad. So it seems like there's a double washing over here, superfluous. The chisa esein ha-aretz, it'll cover the surface of the land. V'lo yuchal liris es ha-aretz. What exactly is the pasuk being moisif over here? V'lo yuchal liris es ha-aretz. So Rashi says, the one that's seeing will not be able to see the land. Again, what is this being moisif exactly? So Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Taz, they both say that when it says l'chatchilo v'chiso es ein ha'aretz, it means in general, it'll cover up the earth. But that doesn't yet mean that every single piece is going to be covered up. For that, the Torah is moisif, v'lo yuchal liris es ha'aretz, it'll be so covered up that not even even an iota, not even a drop will be able to be seen. Those are Rabbeinu B'chai. Shulei Diskin and the Chidah, they say similar pshatim over here. The Chisa Zaina Aretz means it was borrowed in the air and it covered up the sun. Some people teach Eina Aretz, what causes you to be able to see is referring to the sun, because that's what gives off light, you should be able to see. The Chisa Zaina Aretz, the borrowed will be in the sky, it's going to cover up the sun and it's going to be dark. The Arbe is not going to be able to see the earth. And what's that going to accomplish? The Gemara says, Mesechtas Yuma, that someone that has a Suda should eat it by day. Because at night, when you can't see what you're eating, you can't enjoy your food as much. Seeing the food is a chelik of the Hanoah of the food. Where does the Gemara learn it out of? It learns it out of the mon. It says about the mon in Devarim. It says, Hama'achilcha mon ba'midbar. Hashem gave you man in the midbar, l'man anoyshta, in order to afflict you. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, mikan remez l'sumin she'oichlan, a blind person eats, ve'enam sveim. What was hamachil chaman by midbar? To afflict you? He gave you, it tastes like steak, it tasted like anything you wanted it to taste, but you didn't have the hanoah of seeing your food. So in a way, you tasted a delicious steak, but you weren't able to see it, so in a way, it was a shtickle painful for the Bnei Yisrael. From there, the Gemara learns out that a sumer does not enjoy what he eats, and therefore, a person should eat his food by day, and not by night. So Shalit Pizeh, by the Arbe, they weren't satisfied because they weren't able to see what they were eating. They're not going to be satisfied, so they're going to eat more and more and more, and the mele is not going to be anything left over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'dafka made it, they shouldn't be able to see what they're eating. HaShalav, he said, they're less satisfied, which causes them to eat more. There won't be even a remnant, the cloud, of what the Baruch left over. Those are Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, and also the Chidah. To all the Bnei Yisrael, the dog won't sharpen his tongue. In order that you should know, in order that you should know that Hashem differentiates between Mitzrayim and between Yisrael. So the Ksav Sofer asks a question. Every single one of the Makkos only applied to the Mitzrayim and not to the Yidden. By dumb. The Yidden, for the water was Gevalu, for them, Tzvardei, every single thing that's mentioned in the Makkos, it only applied to the Mitzrayim and not to the Yidden. So why is it pumped over here? It's what seems a trivial matter. Well, Yechras Kelev L'Shayne, the dogs are not going to bark at you, and from that you'll be able to see, Asher Yafla Hashem Ben Yisrael, Ben Mitzrayim Ben Yisrael. That's the only thing where you see the difference between the Mitzrayim and the Yidden, because the Yechras Kelev L'Shayne, every single one of the Makkos, there was a chiluk between the Mitzrayim and the Yidden. So what is so special about a seemingly trivial matter of the dog not sharpening his not barking, and that will be the siman that Hashem separates between the Yidden and between Mitzrayim. So the Ksav Sofer is like this. Ksav Sofer says that by every one of the Makkos, it's applied only to the Mitzrayim and not to the Yidden. But it's not yet a raya brura that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special chiba for Yidden. He's punishing the Mitzrayim because they afflicted the Yidden, they oppressed the Yidden. And we have a klal, v'ha'alekim yivakesh es hanirdav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always sticks up for the underdog, the one that's being chased. And Chazal say, even if a tzaddik is being roidiv, if the Rasha is considered a nirdav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sticks up for the Rasha because he's the nirdav. The Gemara says about Bar Kamtze, take a look how great is the koich of busha. Bar Kamtze was a Roshi, he caused the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. But because he was mevuzeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a koich to be matzliach. Well, Kim Yavakish is Hanirdov, even if it's a tzaddik that's being righted for Russia, Hashem sticks up for him. So for the fact that the Mitzrayim suffered all these plagues, no raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mashiv, Klal Yisrael especially, there'd be a mocking to say, they're both not good. But because the Mitzrayim were the Roifim and Klal Yisrael was the Nirdafim, that's why Hashem gave a punishment to the Mitzrayim and not to the Bnei Yisrael. But from this Maaseh, the Bishas Yitzias Mitzrayim, But Yechris Kelev Lashayna, it didn't add to the Yitzir. Klal Yisrael could have gone out just as well with the dogs barking at them. You'd have the same Gula. That was a sign HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it pleasant for them. My children are going out of Mitzrayim. I don't want it to be under stress. I don't want it to be under pressure. I want it to be pleasant. That is the sign that I'm not just doing it to the Mitzrayim because they are roifim. I'm doing it because I'm Asher Klal Yisrael. And the sin of the Dover is, this wasn't Akhid the Gula. This had nothing to do with attacking the Raideh. This was a pleasantry that Hashem gave to the Bnei Yisrael that shows Hashem cares for the Bnei Yisrael. And even if the Rav there by the Zara, the Ahava that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to the Bnei Yisrael is Ahava She'ein Etzluya B'davar. Ava Pishachatu Bonayim. They're still my children, and Hashem, if he said, I show them a Chashivas, even though they're not yet right. Those are the Ksav Sofer, and that's why the Dafka over here it says, L'manteidu Asher Yafra Hashem. Hashem separates between the Yidden and the Mitzrayim. But by the other Makas, you don't necessarily, it's not a Raya Brura. Over there, one might say, it's only by the Kim Yavakash Sanirdov, and that's why he's giving the Mitzrayim the Makya and not to the Yidden. Vayoyfu es habotzek, Asher Yitzil mi Mitzrayim. They baked the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim. Ugois matzois, cakes of matzois. Kiloi chometz, it was not chometz. Kigorshu mi Mitzrayim. Lo yuchul es mameya, they couldn't wait. V'gam tzeda lo yosulem. They prepared nothing for themselves. They had nothing prepared. They were going out into the midbar without any provisions whatsoever. Zok Rashi. Magid shvochon shel Yisrael. This teaches us the praise of Klal Yisrael. Shalai Yomru, they didn't say, hey, Knetzel on Midbar, how are we going to go out to the Midbar? Boy, say it without any food. Elohaminu, they trusted in Hashem, behold. This is what's said in Yirmiyahu. Zocharti lo chesed nuhurayich, ahavas kuvoysayich, lechtech achrayim ha-Midbar, beretz lo yizeruah. This is the special chiba Hashem has to Klal Yisrael. They went out without asking any questions. Food, what are we going to do? We have no provisions. They didn't ask that. So the Manchester Rishi Shiva, he says, let's understand over here what's going on. You have millions of Yidden that are leaving the tribe, and they're going out to a no man's land. They have no idea where they're going. They don't have any food. They have no idea where they're going to sleep. They have no idea how they're going to make it, and nobody asks any questions whatsoever. And amongst these millions of people, and that's not people that are strong men, there's women, there's little children, there's babies, there are sucklings, there are nursing. How in the world does anybody in their right mind go out into a midbar, millions of people, without any food and without questioning exactly what we're going to do? And the answer is that a little child whose parents take him somewhere, he's holding his father's hand, he's holding his mother's hand, he doesn't ask any questions. You know, his parents are taken care of. He's totally batuah in his father and his mother. He doesn't ask, where am I going to eat? He knows his parents are going to supply food. Where am I going to sleep tonight? My parents are going to make sure of it. What am I? He knows that his parents take care of everything. The Bnei Yisrael were on a madrega where they were totally said, worry about food. Worry about where we're going to sleep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He's going to take care of everything. They went with them Munah Pshuta. Zocharti lo chesed nurayach avos b'loy soyev. There was a tremendous, tremendous emunah. So Frek the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, what's going on over here? Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. They were Avdei Avodah Zarah like the Mitzrayim. They were on a Loma Draga. They were sinking into the Sha'anun of Tumah. How all of a sudden did they hunt such an emunah? I mean, you have a Muslim, what a Madraga that is. Would we go out now out of our houses just wandering and being Seimach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's going to take care of me. I have no worry in the world. I know that I'm going to get food for the next week or next 2 weeks or whatever. I'm going to have where to sleep. I have no idea where I'm going to sleep. I'm Seimach and Hashem. It's an unbelievable madrega. And yet, here they have they come to that madrega? They were over there by the Zara. They were sinking to the Sha'ar Nun. They had to get away quickly so that they shouldn't sink into the Sha'ar Nun. Where did they come to that madrega? Teretz is the Torah tells us. What did they do? Mishchu ukhulachem tzayinz on chazal, mishchu atzmachem in avay dezara. Number one, they abstained from avay dezara, and they had two mitzvahs, dam pesach and dam milah. And after those two mitzvahs, it's sort of like they soared to the highest heights. How does that happen? How's that? Very good. So they did two mitzvahs. We do tayyad mitzvahs, you know, and then, beyond that madrega. How from two mitzvahs alone were they zeichet to such a tremendous mesiras nefesh? So up to Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, you see from over here the inner koichas of the Yiddish and neshama. And the koichas of the Yiddish and neshama cannot be underestimated. A neshama is a chelik aloi kanimal. A neshama is the very shechina resting within us. And the neshama is highly flammable material. You know, when you're next to flammable material, the tiniest little spark could cause this tremendous conflagration, this tremendous fire, which goes totally out of control. This is exactly what happened to the Yid. And the Chanami, they were on a low madrega. But the inner neshama is so great that sometimes when you hit it with a spark at the right time, in the right place, the whole thing could explode, and a mamash becomes on fire, and it reaches madregas he never reached. And he compares it to a volcano. When a volcano erupts, it shoots out fire, it shoots out smoke, it shoots out stones, it shoots out lava and dirt. When the Bnei Yisrael erupted, they shot out all the psoilas that they had accumulated within the years, the stones and the dirt that shot out, and they rid themselves of that mamish in a very short time. They became totally clean. That they were willing to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish outside the midbar. This is the koyach of the Yiddish and Neshama, highly flammable material, but that's not flammable like a volcano that when it erupts and it turns on fire, it shoots out all kinds of stones. The neshama is capable of ridding itself of all bad midas and hashkos of the gezachim in 1 second if it's hit properly. I don't know if I ever said over this nice or Yiddish, it's a niflitic story that a chanach said over in Torah by the Torah Masorah convention. This goes back about 15, 20 years when he said it over. So he said over, B'didei ha'viyufta. He was a younger man, straight out of Kail. He needed a job. So he looks into one of the Jewish wanteds. There's a modern Orthodox school. They call themselves modern Orthodox. That's looking for a teacher of Hebrew studies for a boy. I'm not sure if it was a boy's school, maybe it was a co-ed school, I'm not sure. So he looks it up and he calls the principal and he goes in for an interview. The principal is very impressed with him, looks like a capable young man. He says, okay, you're hired, but there's certain conditions you have to be aware of. We are limited as to what we expose the children as far as Jewish education goes. We don't learn halacha, we don't teach them halacha, we don't teach them this, we don't get too heavy on this. We teach them customs, you know, Israeli dances, and we teach them about, when the holidays come around. And we told them exactly what the curriculum is, and don't go too heavy on that. That was the general rule. Okay, this guy was not, he was a kollel guy, and he says, I'm teaching you the shikinda, I'm going to do it my way. Finished. He comes in the first day, and he introduces himself, he makes it interesting. He starts learning the halachas of waking up in the morning and how you get dressed. So he teaches them about putting on clothing, that the right comes before left. You put on your shoes, first put on your right shoe, then the left shoe. When it comes to tying, left shoe first, then right shoe. He teaches them the whole business. It's very interesting. Kids were very interested. One of the kids comes home that night. The son of his mother was the vice president of the school. Yes, well, how'd you like the teacher? Oh, it's very interesting what you learned. And he tells her what he learned. She was mortified. What? So she calls the principal right away. We have to fire this guy. And sure enough, he fired the guy. I told you what the curriculum is. What are you doing? Okay. Well, you fired him. It was a day. This little boy, well, he was already a seventh, eighth grader, He grew up with the chinuch of his parents. He went to high school. He went to a secular high school. And he went to college, and there he met a nice guy, you should a girl, and they decided to get married. So by then, before the chasana, they have a rehearsal, where the families come together, have a whole rehearsal with a big suda a couple of days before the chasana. So he was in the hotel room, he's putting on his tuxedo, and then he comes to put on his shoes, and he's mumbling to himself, right foot first, then left foot, tie left shoe. Hey, did I hear that? Where did I get that from? He remembers that he had this Rebbe that taught them the halachas, whatever. And he explained that the right foot comes first because it's koyach, and you're stepping into something with koyach. He starts thinking, and here I'm stepping into something where I'm going to be giving up a legacy that I never even learned about. He says, am I crazy or what? He decided right then and there that he's putting the shidduch on hold. He's not going through with this. You can imagine what the reaction was of the mechutan with his parents. He became obstinate. He became stubborn. I'm not going through with this. And he wrote the whole thing. Once he was out of this already, he said, let me find out more about my religion. He went to some kiruv thing, became a frumiyid, and he started a regular frumi family. He says he has to find this Rebbe to ask him for Bechili. He was responsible for his being fired. Somehow or other, he tracked him down. He says, you might not remember me, but I'm a student there that got you fired. And he told him his whole story. And this Rebbe spoke at the Torah Masoret Convention. He says, one never knows what a hashpoah he could have on someone. From one day, he could turn around somebody's life completely. But what I took from the story is, how many people put so much kashivas into a minig Yisrael, putting the right foot on, Yoivron and Isser, if you don't, is it allowed in the Torah? It's a minig Yisrael, which is brought down halacha. You wouldn't be oimed on the fact that, and yet even a minig is so strong that it could ignite the neshama, that it changes the neshama around completely. That's the koich of a minute. Could you imagine Kal V'chaimer, remember Neshul Kal V'chaimer, the koiches of mitzvahs in the Torah? That's what the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva says over here. A neshama is a chelek of like a mal. It's the kedusha within us, the shechina within us. And the tiniest little catalyst, the tiniest little spark could cause the neshama to erupt, and it could change a person's life around forever. Akidei kach, that yidden would go out in the midbar, totally betuach on HaKadosh Baruch. Just want to finish off with a Mari de Kivart from the Meshech Chachma. It says, the Lashon of the Pasuk, V'chagoysem oisei chag la'ashem. You should celebrate Pesach chag la'ashem. Chukas oilom techagu. A chayk forever, you should celebrate it. So the Meshech Chachma says like this. If you look at Yitzias Mitzrayim like a physical exodus, we were avodim, we were slaves, we worked hard, and we were let out of Mitzrayim, and now we were no longer up on them. It's a physical redemption. So then one ketayne, so like the Rosh says, Mo'avaydah zayis lochem. What are you doing this today for? You know, today you're still in Golos, right? Bishleim, and then there was a reason to celebrate. You were taken out of bondage, right? But you're back again. You're enslaved to a government. You're not free anymore. So what's there to celebrate about it today? There's no reason to celebrate it today. But if you look at it as a ruchni yizdiki yitzia, if you look at it as the fact that Hashem took us as His nation, and Hashem rested the Shekhinah amongst us, and Hashem gave us the Torah, and we became His nation forever, then there's something to celebrate even in Golos, because we have a spiritual aliyah because of it. Ad Hayom Hazeh, we're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the Golos, so there's something to celebrate forever. Mashal Ma'adav Redayna, there was a fellow that was a pauper, very poor person, and one day he struck it rich. Every day, every year on the yard site, when he struck it rich, he made a big suda and he was celebrating. He was a mevi'i kazach in his household. He gave out candies to all the kids in the neighborhood. And then one day, he lost all of his nechassim again. He became a pauper again. But he continued making that suda every year and making a big mishdah. So his krugman asked him, like, what are you doing? He says, Bishlein, when you were rich, I can understand that you made a big suda to celebrate. But now that you're poor again, what's there to celebrate about? It's a thing of the past. So he says, why don't you understand? He said, when I struck it rich, I was able to afford a Rebbe. I hired a Rebbe to teach me how to learn Mishnayos. I was an Amoritz. He taught me how to learn Mishnayos. He taught me how to learn Gemara. I became the Talmud Chacham. I'm able to learn. So even though I lost the physical riches, but the Ruchni is the riches I gained because of it, I still have. So I'm still celebrating because of it. That's the pshat over here. If you look at it as only a physical redemption, physical riches, we no longer have those physical riches. But if you look at it as a new a creation of a relationship with Hashem, that He gave us the Torah and He rests the Shin amongst us, that's something to celebrate forever. So up to Meshech Chachma, that's right over here. If you celebrate it as a spiritual yontif, then chukas olam techavu, then you'll be able to celebrate it forever. Even when you're in Golos, even when you're under the yad of the goyim, and even though you no longer have the freedom from exile from Golos, but you still have that relationship from HaKadosh, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chagoyim may say Chag Hashem. If the celebrations of Ruchni is the celebration, Chukas Olam Techavu, then you'll be able to celebrate it forever. In the deepest and darkest Golos, you'll be able to celebrate with Hashem. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.